What's up, and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing, with myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Hey, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I just thought I'd tell you guys, because I'd forgotten about this until this point in my life. It was a memory from when I was in high school, and I thought it was pretty amazing, and I wanted to know if you guys thought it was as equally amazing.
Oh, no.
So, this one time in high school, we used to go pool hopping. Did you ever do that as a kid?
Like you jump people's backyards and go in their pools?
Well, nobody had pools in their backyards where I lived, but the local hotels had pools.
Oh.
So we'd go down to the local hotels and we'd like hop the fence and we'd swim in the hotel pools, right? And normally we didn't get caught. It was no big deal. Well, one day we go to this local hotel and we hop the fence and nobody's in the pool, but we see, me and my friend Tyler, we see something floating in the pool. It was round. And we were probably like, I don't know, 30 yards away, 40 yards away. And I'm like, dude, look, there's an orange floating in the pool. And Tyler's like, that's not an orange, that's a ball.
Okay.
And I was like, no, it's an orange. And Tyler's like, no, it's a ball. So we walk up, we get in the pool, we get this thing. You guys, it was a ball that was made to look like an orange.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's some serious tomfoolery right there.
Isn't that the most amazing thing you've ever heard?
But it wasn't an orange?
No, it was a ball that was like made to look like an orange.
So a fake orange.
Like a dog
toy. Like a squishy orange.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty, what are the chances?
Yeah. I'd say pretty good.
I'm glad we're recording this because I want to make sure when I retell this to my grandchildren, I get all the details right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it looked, so it looked like an orange, but it wasn't.
No, it was a ball, but it looked like an orange. So we were kind of both right.
But
so it was a double high five.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
To this day, we'll still, I mean, I don't even hang out with that guy anymore, but we'll randomly text each other, you know.
Hey, you remember that time?
Yeah.
Was that a real ball, a real orange?
Yeah. That was crazy. Yeah.
Did you try to juice it?
That's the most exciting thing I have to talk about tonight.
Wow.
Well,
and it happened
only,
you know,
downhill from here.
Almost 20 years ago. So there you go.
Wow. We peaked early tonight.
How many of those special sauces have you drank tonight, Jason?
Oh, this is only my fifth.
Okay.
JK.
Oh, man.
So welcome to the Shop Sounds podcast, everyone.
Yeah. Welcome aboard. Welcome back.
Glad to have you. Hey, you know what I was thinking as you were telling that story? I wanted to read a review that we got on the podcast over on the Apple iTunes.
Are we getting good reviews?
Yeah, we're getting some decent reviews. We got one that was just too good not to read. And I think I told you guys to read this. I don't know if you did or not, but we got it a couple days ago. It was titled, "It's Not the Worst."
Yeah, that's a good start right there.
Yeah, but he gave us 5 stars. And the username was iHeartKeith. So,
God,
that's kind of lame. What about me and you?
I know this guy; he's really hung up on Keith. But
this guy, are you sure it's a guy? I hope. Are you sure it's a guy?
I'm assuming, just by the language, but it could be a woman. I mean, maybe. But let me read it. It says, "I'm really into kung fu and started listening to this podcast because I thought it said chop sounds. I was going to turn it off when I realized it was about woodworking, but that guy Keith had such a sweet voice, I couldn't stop listening. I found a picture of him online, and now I tape it over my computer screen when I listen to every episode. I'm hoping to build my computer into the shape of a person so it feels more like he's in the room with me. But I'll probably need to listen to a few more episodes before I have enough woodworking knowledge. I'd highly recommend this podcast, if for nothing else than Keith's dreamy voice."
Wow.
I'm blushing.
Keith. Man, why did you write that, buddy?
And I'm changing my identity as we speak here. Locking 1-800 my credit
LifeLock. Here we go.
Well, whoever that was, thank you.
Okay, so here's my new challenge to you listeners is, first, we want you to go over to iTunes. We want you to leave us a 5-star review. But now somebody, the gauntlet's been thrown down.
Mm-hmm. It really has.
Okay, so let's see, have some fun with this. Who can outdo the Keith fan club reviewer?
The KFC?
I heart Keith.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
All I have to say is if they really liked Keith, they would become a Patreon.
Right.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our segment we're calling...
Say My Name.
Say My Name.
Wow. What a segue.
We've got some new patrons. Jason, you want to tell everybody who's signed up?
I'm going to tell everybody as soon as I can figure out how to work my computer. Okay. So we've got some new patrons. I'm going to start with the lower tiers first. But again, this is not an order of importance. You guys are all very important to us. So we've got Jason Jones of Kingdom Built. Now, fun story about Jason. I actually met him once. I was on my way back from Workbench Con, and I was walking through the Atlanta airport with Jess Crow of Crow Creek Designs. And we're walking along, and she's like, hey, with... you know, having quite a few Instagram followers, do you ever get recognized, like, in public? And I was like, no. I mean, not at all. All of a sudden, somebody from, like, across the terminal is like, Jason, Bourbon Moth! And it was Jason Jones. He ran over and said hi. He was on his way back from a cruise with his wife. And I felt pretty important in front of Jess Crow after, you know, modestly saying it doesn't happen. Well, obviously... it happened that one time. So
that's
anyways,
funny.
Jason Jones, welcome to the club. And then we've got Marissa Tomei. No. No, I read that wrong. Marissa Piper of Heath Street Woodworking. So we're
a special shout out to Marissa. Marissa is a gal who quit her office job to do woodworking full time.
Wow.
Is banging it out of the park. I hope she's feeling better because she just had an allergic reaction to something and was so swollen, apparently she couldn't come on camera, but she's feeling better and obviously better enough to donate money to be a patron of the show. So thank you, Marissa Piper.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get the special Shop Sounds Purple Heart, Marissa.
Right.
Your
swollen Purple Heart
appendages. Right. And the then after reaction, that... we've got Jonathan King. Now, funny thing about Jonathan. So Jonathan is a guy that, okay, I really don't know anything about Jonathan. I didn't want him to be left out.
Has a question mark next to it?
Yeah. Well, he didn't put his Instagram handle. So oh, Jonathan man. King, maybe you can just search Jonathan King. There can't be more than like
50 million.
50.
Jonathan
000.
Said that he actually met you at your shop not too long ago.
Jonathan King. Oh, okay. I know who this guy is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I know who this is. Yeah, I believe, if I'm thinking of the right person, him and his family were camping over on the Oregon coast, and he drove like 2 hours to come say hi to me with his son.
Wow.
Yeah. I could be completely different guy, but that's who I think it is. I'm pretty sure.
Close enough.
So, yes. Jonathan, there you go. We got a fun little story for all of our wow. lower tier patrons.
Amazing.
That doesn't happen every day. And then, we go to the, we didn't have any middle tier patrons, huh?
Nope.
Nope. So we go from the low tier to the top tier, the big.
That's right.
The big guns, the people that obviously love us too much for their own good. And we've got a new top tier this week, Nick at Stated Woods Co. Nick is a great guy. He's kind of been supporting, when me and Nick were on our previous podcast, he was supporting us over there, and now he's followed us over here. So we super appreciate Nick's patronage.
Yes.
And then our other top tiers, which they don't get a just flat readout again, but they might get a random shout out throughout the podcast.
That's right.
So we'll just save that for later.
Yeah, we can save that. Absolutely. Yeah. We want to thank everybody, all of our patrons, whether you've been with us since whenever we launched
Patreon.
Patreon. I don't know why I always want to say that wrong. Patronage. Patreon. Whenever we launch the Patreon page, want to say thank you. And then if you want to find us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast. We'll be
And if you signed up for the top tier in order to get a t-shirt and you haven't gotten it yet, I just want to say that me personally, I have nothing to do with the t-shirts, Jason Hibbs. So if you want someone to be mad at, it's Nick and Keith. I think they're on it. I think those should be coming, but I had nothing to do with this, so don't get mad at me.
They have been ordered, and they're an on-demand type of thing, so it's cyclical when they print. It should be in a few days. They'll finish printing, then they get shipped to me, and then I will ship them out.
Yeah.
To our top tier patrons.
And anybody that we owe stickers to, I actually put them in my mailbox today, but it was after the mailman had come, so I missed them. They'll go out tomorrow, I promise. So whenever you're hearing this, it'll be Friday. They'll be out. You'll get them by this weekend, probably, or maybe by Monday. So
there you go.
Anyways.
All right. That's business. We got the business out of the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jason, I just finished watching your YouTube where you were hugging that little dowel rod of a stretcher on your modern dining table.
Casey Clark.
It's too early.
But I feel I owe Casey because I forgot to shout him out last time.
You do.
So I want to just hit him right off the top because our retention's probably super low. People are probably 30 seconds away from shutting us down. I want to make sure Casey gets in there. Casey Clark. Top tier patron.
And you owe him one more.
Okay, he might get another one.
Just so you know, one more.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
Okay.
YouTube video.
Your YouTube video, yeah.
Did you like watching it, how you could tell I completely forgot to shoot an intro to the video?
Yes. Aww. I totally noticed that.
So I just put a picture up and talked over the picture.
Yeah. I was like, this is kind of strange. What's missing here? Oh, wait. No, he didn't shoot any intro at all.
I didn't. Well, I thought about it. Well, normally I do it like after I get the video edited, like the day I'm finishing my editing, I'll go shoot the intro and outro because I have the piece in my shot, but I had delivered that when it was gone. And then I remembered and I couldn't go over to the client's house and be like, hey, forgot to do an intro. Can I come in and act like a fool in your dining room? So.
And I'm running in out of breath.
Yeah. No. So.
Yeah, that's how you always start every video. Yeah,
that's his,
you run into frame.
Well, I'm trying. Yeah. What I'm trying to do there, people think it's like, oh, I'm just trying to be funny. My goal every time is to beat, like I press the record button behind the camera, and then I want to get in front of it before it actually starts recording. So it's less editing, less I have to cut out of the video.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So it actually saves me time. It's totally practical.
It makes sense now.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy the video?
I liked it. I didn't realize how long it was until it was done. I was like, holy cow, that was 20 minutes.
What? I tried to, I've been trying to keep my videos under 20 minutes, but I like sped the crap out of those clips and I just couldn't cut any more out of there without it being hard to follow. I didn't think so.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes you just have to go with the long form format, but I mean, I will say I didn't feel like I fell asleep and missed anything.
Oh, that's good.
I was following along.
Okay.
I just didn't realize it was going to be 20 minutes until it was up, and I was like, holy cow. Oh,
well, that's good. If you don't realize it's 20 minutes, then that's fine.
That's a
win. I mean, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I did realize there was a lot of ads that ran, though.
Was there? So let's talk about this for a second, because I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but YouTube just completely switched the way that they're doing their mid-roll ads. There used to be like a 20-minute video, you get one mid-roll ad in the middle there. And now it's like if you don't adjust it, there's an ad every like 3 minutes.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So
does that mean more money for us?
Well, sure, technically, if people watch it, but if it was me and I was watching a video and every 3 minutes an ad popped up, I'd be like, I'm done with this, and I'd move on.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. They're not, I think most of the mid-rolls are only, like 5-second ads?
Yeah.
Or they're the pop-up banners that you can X out.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many weeks ago did they change their mid-roll policy to where 8-minute videos can get a mid-roll now?
Oh,
yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that helps me because I'm my last video was only 8 minutes, so I got a mid-roll.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
No, and it is this hard thing because, like, from a viewership standpoint, I mean, I want the best experience for the viewers, but, I mean, that's, to be completely frank, that's how you make your money on YouTube is with the ads, so...
And right. They're watching for free. They're not paying for the service, so they
that's
just,
true. If they want, right, if right. they want no ads, they could get the YouTube premium.
Absolutely.
And then
that's
not
true.
Have
that's
to deal
true.
With it. So,
yeah, hmm. You know, you go to any other service, Netflix, Hulu, you're not getting ads, then you're paying for that.
Yeah.
So, suck it up.
Right.
Suck it. Suck it up.
It's free content.
Yeah, and you know that's what? Right. I mean, what I would really appreciate is like. If you're watching one of my videos, you hit an ad break, the ad plays, just rewind it about 30 seconds and then hit that ad 4 or 5 more times.
Yeah, why not?
You know, I mean, it would help me out. You could maybe see a product you haven't seen before and you want to buy. Like, I don't know, some of those weird products that wind up on there, like Simply Safe or I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
But it is what it is.
I feel like it's all election ads right now, though.
Yeah.
Have you been getting hit with all the election stuff? Just
no.
Wait,
political ad
this,
after political
is
ad.
Is this an election year?
Mm. I don't know.
I haven't noticed.
I don't pay attention.
It is.
I just noticed that the ads are
we should probably not
very
wander,
politicized.
We should probably not wander down this rabbit hole.
No, I don't want to get political at all. I'm just saying it feels like the ads aren't products anymore. It's just,
yeah.
It's getting, ugh.
I'm just ready for
anyways,
it.
I wish 2020
I'm
was over.
I'm ready for it to be over for sure.
Yeah, it was about as much as I wanted your video to be over.
Ooh.
Ouch.
So you'd like more 2020 is what you're saying.
Ah. With more ads.
More ads.
You guys want to hear something really depressing that I learned?
What's that?
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He turned 40 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I saw that this week.
Isn't that crazy?
That makes me feel terrible.
Yeah.
Are they going to do a Home Alone reboot?
They should.
I mean,
grown-up
rebooting
version.
Everything else, so that would be a good candidate.
Well, what they should do is they should do a Home Alone, and then when the mom realizes that they don't have the kid, they just text the kid, and the kid texts back and says, yeah, I'm at the house.
Yeah.
The end.
The end. Yeah, just the mom just FaceTimes the son.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. That movie doesn't make any sense in this day and age.
No, now it doesn't.
She could call him from the airplane.
You could just easily say, where are you?
Yeah.
30,000 feet. Are you at home? Mm. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, darn.
You forgot me.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Don't ruin it for me.
Yeah. That would actually be a fun YouTube video series if you took your entire house and tried to, like, deck it out Home Alone style and then had your friends come try and break into it.
do the whole wet bandit
just
scene?
Like come up with crazy booby traps and then like
with the
pay your friends
torch and the hair.
Like there's a prize if you can make it through the house, you know, without setting off a booby trap or whatever, then you get, you know, X amount of money. That'd be fun.
You get some Bitcoin.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You get Bitcoin?
Yeah. Bitcoin it.
You get a bag full of Bitcoin. Already mined.
Can you actually have a bag of Bitcoins?
A virtual bag.
I'm going to say yes.
A virtual bag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So I did my YouTube video, but you put out a YouTube video yourself on tuning up your table saw. Everything with you is music related now.
Yeah, it's
have
all tune it up. Yep.
I'll tune it up.
I mean, yeah. You got to tune it up in the key of C.
Right.
So what did you do to tune it?
C major.
What does that mean, tune up your table saw? I mean, I tuned mine up. I got it. I got it out of the crate and plugged it in. Do you need to do more to a table saw than that?
I don't know if you really need to. I mean, I watched some videos that said you needed to, so I thought I could make one that would fit in with those videos.
Okay.
I mean, like I said in my video, I tune my saws like every blue moon. And we only get those like once every couple of years. And there was one like last month, so I figured it was time to tune my saw up. And I was actually watching Instagram stories, and Paul Jackman had a story about the mag switch universal saw indicator. Did you see that by chance?
No.
I did not.
No. You didn't? Well, it's... I mean, you guys know what mag switch is, right?
No.
Yes.
The switch. I mean, Keith, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I know, but why don't you just explain it so our listeners know?
Right. Well, MagSwitch is a company that has a bunch of products that have switchable magnets that you can turn on and off the magnetism, so you can stick them to your tabletop of your table saw, bandsaw, whatever you want that's cast iron, right? And they happen to make this a universal saw indicator that has a dial indicator with magnets, and you can stick it to your miter slot or miter gauge in the miter slot, and you can tune your saw, the saw blade, you can do your fence, you know, everything, and you're going to dial it in. And when I saw Paul do that, I was like, you know, I should pick that up because my saw is kind of cutting a little off. I noticed that I had a little bit of more burning on longer cuts. So when I was doing actual hardwood cuts, which seems, I was talking to KJ about this earlier this week, and I said, you know, he asked me, how do I deal without a riving knife? And I said, you know, I take it one cut at a time. I live my life a quarter mile at a time, as they say on Fast and Furious. But I noticed that I was getting more burning on some of the longer cuts, and it's because my saw blade was out. I think when I tuned it up, I figured out it was out by like 0.08 of an inch. So
that's enough to do burning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently. I mean, not a whole lot, but enough to where when I was pushing through some of the bigger stock, it'd burn it pretty good. Maybe that was also how much I was feeding it through the saw. Maybe. I don't know. But
Jeff,
I was noticing
Douglas Fort Hamer Woodworking.
Nice.
Jeff got mad because I said Fort Hammer last time. He was furious. He sent a raving DM to the whole shop sounds thing. He was like,
yeah, it was scathing.
It's Hamer, not Hammer. Sorry. I thought you were a woodworking company, so I thought Hammer. It's Hamer. Jeff Douglas. All right. Continue.
Yeah.
Nick, I have a question for you because, all right,
yeah,
you were setting your blade parallel to the left miter slot, right?
Right.
And then you set your fence to the right miter slot.
Oh.
Correct.
And then you put on an auxiliary fence on top of the fence that you just calibrated.
Right.
So.
Right.
It seems like you got a lot of different things that aren't all in sync there to me. And I didn't want to put that in a comment in a video.
No. Well, you should have.
Probably.
Because I would.
I didn't want to come off like,
I would have welcomed
like,
the engagement.
Yeah. Well, I did consider that, but I didn't want to look like my engagement being a jackass. So.
I thought about that after I cut everything. And funny thing was, I checked all of that off camera. And I meant to say something in the voiceover, but I was trying to follow suit with you two knuckleheads and just roll the voiceover all in one.
Yeah.
So my voiceover was literally just sitting down and just talking over the video without thinking.
Isn't it great?
And I forgot. Well, yeah, but I forgot to address the fact that I went from the left slot to the right slot. So I, off camera, I made sure that my left slot was aligned to the right slot.
Okay.
So I double-checked my blade from the right slot before I went to the fence.
I mean, in a perfect world, they should be factory perfect.
Right.
But
should be.
They should be, but I am running a Craftsman
saw. I mean, I don't know what
so
you would do anyway if the pair if the
yeah, if they're not, if your miter slots are off, you can't adjust those. Yeah, so
you got to fill them with epoxy and reroute them.
There's no
them
fixing that. Yeah. Let me get a huge milling machine over here. But no, I did double-check that stuff before I went on and did the fence alignment, but my auxiliary fence is straight as an arrow, and I checked that off camera also, but I didn't even address it in the video because I thought it was kind of a,
if you don't do it on camera,
moot point.
Does it really,
yeah, you do,
does
it all
really happen?
Maybe maybe not,
but see,
no,
that's the wonderful
off camera,
world
but
that we live in is any criticism
right
we get, any questioning people have, we can just be like, I did it off camera.
Yeah,
don't worry about
forgot
it.
To
yeah,
film
right
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to press record. Mm. My bad.
Oops. So, I mean, after your tune-up, your saw's running better? It's running good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I made, so I tuned it up this past Sunday, and I only got a chance to make a couple cuts this week with it, but I noticed everything I pushed through that blade was smoother, faster, and cleaner.
What is your preferred go-to table saw blade?
Okay, you probably didn't watch my video then because I said I
Well, I watched it, but I'm thinking for our listeners, maybe you should say.
Oh, okay. Sure. that's a good cover. I'll allow it. I only go with one blade, really. I use a 40-tooth Forest Woodworker 2.
Yeah, and the flat grind?
Flat grind.
Atta kid. Yeah. That's the only because blade I'm so lazy.
I'm so lazy. There's no point in getting out the dado stack when you got a flat grind, right?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a scientific reason why the flat grind's not best all the time. I mean, I'm sure the angled grind is supposed to do something less chip out. I don't know what it...
I don't know what it would be.
Well, I don't notice any difference of the flat grind.
Yeah.
It does what?
Well, I think those outer, the alternating tooth, like, will score the wood a little cleaner.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it'll give it a... score it.
Irrelevant, probably.
But for like how not? I mean, the flat grind, I just use that thing all the time to do little dado slots, you know, like eighth inch on stuff. It's just so nice. I don't have to switch it out, and it's super sharp. I never have any problem with getting a clean line on that thing. So,
like anything else, if it works, don't change it.
What do
it
you works. Use? Well, what is your name? What are we supposed to call you?
Yeah, what are we calling you?
We mentioned last week that I grew up playing golf, and which, by the way, I am playing tomorrow with my brother-in-law.
So no way
about that. But when my grandparents used to live in a, you know, one of those communities down in Florida that was built around a golf course where everybody...
Del Boca Vista.
Yes. Phase 3 of the Pine and Mar Gables, where everybody has a golf cart. Like, that is, you have a car just in case, but you can, the grocery stores there, everything. They built a bridge over a 6-lane highway just for the golf carts. But anyway, since I wasn't playing very often, that would kind of be the only time sometimes I would play is when I would go down there. And sometimes I get a case of the shanks. And since the golf course literally meanders through the whole development, every hole is lined by houses. So I ended up taking out a couple windows, hit a couple roofs, punctured a hole in some guy's siding. But anyway... The neighbors used to call me Killa because I would kill so many houses.
Wait. These old near-death Florida residents would call you Killa.
Yeah.
Did they put the apostrophe on the A? Or?
Well, see, my grandparents are from Boston like me, so, you know, that's when they retell the story. Oh, is Killa coming down? It's like... That was me. My name preceded me. So every time my grandmother would joke, don't worry, I told everybody you were coming. They put the shutters up.
Oh, Killa. Okay, Killa.
That's it.
Killa, what saw blade do you use?
I have a Quinn saw blade, which I got about a year and a half ago. A lot of people haven't heard of that. Like I learned about it through Hui at Alabama, or the Alabama Woodworker. They're out of Missouri.
Is this the one where they put your logo on it?
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Oh, wow.
So it's like the vanity plates of the woodworking world.
But it's a great, but I think it was a little less than the Forest, but you know, it's like $115, I think, roughly.
See, the thing I like about the Forest, though, is they are more expensive, but if it gets dull, you send it back to them, they sharpen it and they send it back.
It's free sharpening?
Yeah,
for life.
You just pay shipping.
Yeah, you so ship it back, they sharpen it and send it back. Well,
I mean, yeah, shipping. But.
Yeah, I don't know if Quinn, I know Quinn does sharpening, I don't know if what the service is, but I haven't had a problem. I've had that blade in there, for a year and a half. I only take it out because it's a full kerf blade, and sometimes I need a thin kerf when I don't want to lose a bunch of material, so I have a Ridge carbide. Thin kerf, which both of those companies are in New Jersey, by the way. Forest is in Clifton, and Ridge Carbide is right near there. So I've actually taken stuff to forest to be sharpened, non-forest blades. But I like the dado stack when I'm, you know, I know you said you just make multiple paths, but I prefer the dado stack, the Infinity Tools Datanator, 6 or 8 inch, whatever.
If I'm doing anything above, you know, half inch, 3/8, I'll put the dado stack in.
Yeah.
But for anything less than that, with the flat grind blade,
yeah,
I like that I can really creep up on my width.
Mm.
Yeah.
By just barely moving it and testing the fit and moving it and testing the fit so I can get it like perfect. With the dado stack, you can do that, but you got to do like the test cuts and I don't know. It's just more of a pain. I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's also depending on how much pressure you put down because sometimes your throat plate has a little flex in it. So when you're pushing down the dado, it'll go down a little bit deeper. And what, you know, it's that's why I always kind of don't go as deep as I need and then clean it up with a router plane. I mean, obviously, I'd love to just fly through and make one pass and for a half lap joint or something, but sometimes you got to tidy that joint up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
All right.
All right.
So here's another question, table saw related while we're on the topic, because I was in the shop the other day. I forget who was in my shop. Sometimes random people just show up in my shop. Anyways, I was cutting something on the table saw. And I needed it a certain width, like you do with everything on the table saw. And so I kind of got my fence close, and then I pulled out my tape measure, and I kind of like tapped it to get it right where I wanted. And this person, who I really can't, who was in my shop? I don't remember. But anyways, he's like, what, is your gauge on your table saw not accurate? Which it is accurate, but I just never bring myself to trust it. Do you guys trust the measurements on your table saw?
I can't use it because I'm like Nick. I have an auxiliary fence that I put over my fence, so it completely nullifies.
Right.
But no, on the rigid, even so, you cannot trust anything.
Yeah. I mean, mine's pretty darn accurate. I always measure every cut with the tape measure.
Interesting.
It seems faster to me if you just take your tape out and hit it anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I just think there's a little more room for error there, depending on if you use the same tape measure or you push, because if you don't push in that little, the metal hook on the end.
Oh, right.
There's play there.
Well, then how do you do it?
I will use my Woodpecker stainless steel square. So I'll put the...
Of course. Yeah.
Well, not everybody's, you know, fancy enough to have all the cool Woodpecker stuff, but...
Says the guy with all the woodpeckers.
Says the guy with the wall of woodpeckers too.
I mean, not everybody is, you know, has the gumption to walk across the room and pick up their woodpecker stuff.
You know what? Or what I normally use, because in my auxiliary fence I have a little kind of tray, a little track there where I keep a ruler and the wrenches and everything. So I have just a regular 12-inch stainless steel ruler that I'll grab and use that to check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always use the same tape measure, so I think I'm okay. But I'm with you that I'm constantly switching out whether it's the full kerf or the thin kerf, and I just don't want to. I don't chance it. I just don't even do it.
Yeah,
but it made me think when he mentioned that I don't know. Am I the only person that does that? But apparently not. If you guys, do it too.
No.
The other thing I use is a blade stabilizer, because it's actually a forest blade stabilizer. So it's basically just a disc that's an 1/8 inch thick where you got your arbor nut and then that arbor plate, which is what normally
to
like,
prevent deflection
wobble. Yeah. On my saw, that rigid, you get a little
especially
wobble.
With a thin kerf, I could see where that happens. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And it does wonders for stabilizing that blade.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say, Nick?
I was going to say, I saw a picture floating around on Instagram. I don't know if it was this week or last week. It was two different Stanley tape measures. One was like 35 and one was a 25 foot. And it was off by a full 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
Mm.
So like if you are using multiple tape measures to do a project, you could really end up, screwing yourself over pretty hard, because 1/4 inch is a lot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is a lot. Well, okay. Here's another question on what your practices are. I don't do this on the table saw fence because it doesn't work that well. But if I'm going to measure anything wood related, I never go off the little catch on the end of the tape measure. I always move it
to 1 inch.
An inch.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
And then go off of that so that I don't even have to worry about that, because it does move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And how many times do you forget to subtract that?
Oh, I mean, it's happened maybe 25 times. And I mean, it happens.
It happens.
No, I mean, honestly, I do it. That's the way I do it every single time. So it's just kind of ingrained that,
yeah,
you know, that's what I'm doing. But I will say, when I switched, because I used to just use the Home Depot, I went to there and got the, like, yeah, the Stanley tape measures, which are great if you're doing framing or construction or whatever,
yep,
where you can be, yeah, off a quarter an inch. It doesn't matter at all. But then I went to a Woodcraft and I was like, oh, they sell like fancy tape measures. And so I got one of the fast cap ones.
Yeah,
and those are my,
yeah,
those are my favorite tape measures by far.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Love them.
Because they go way down on the measurements and the end does move slightly, but I think they're all pretty unified because I have four of them in my shop and they're all pretty much right in the same tolerance. So,
yeah, I love the fast cap. I think I have the lefty righty.
That's what I have.
So you can,
yep.
Yeah, that's the best
you
one.
You can use
for
it
sure
on both sides. Yeah, it's, yeah, great. It's, yeah, one of my favorite tapes ever.
Yeah.
Real nice.
Wow. Riveting. Wow. Riveting conversation.
Oh, tape measures. So, yeah, beautiful.
So the real question is, Killa, did you kill that second recurve table build yet?
Well, I put the second coat of Rubio on tonight, so it's almost done. But,
ooh,
remember, I think I said last time how frustrating it is to have to rebuild this thing so every little thing bugs me. Like, I broke my pencil again, or it's so friggin' hot in
right
here. I need some more coffee. Where is my freaking tape measure? You know, every little thing is magnified irritant. And I think I even talked about my Festool sander last time that I had to have fixed because it kept like revving up, revving down, turning on, turning off. So it was like $330 to have that thing fixed.
Yeah.
Now I have two other 5-inch Festool sanders, like the ET, what is it, the 125 or whatever, that's like 6 years old. And I had bought the Pro 5 when they came out with that, which, remember, that was like their $99 Festool sander.
Right.
It was like, so everybody could buy a Festool sander, which that one worked for about a week and crapped out and has been in the case ever since. But this other one I very rarely use because after buying the 150, like the 6-inch versus the 5-inch, it's night and day. Like I never even touched that 5-inch. But on this project where I was sanding the inside of the...
I was hoping somebody...
She says a lot, doesn't she? When I was sanding the inside of those curves, I was like, oh, the 5-inch might be able to get in there kind of flat with a flexible pad. I turn the thing on and it turns up and revs down and turns up and revs down, and I lost it. I threw that thing so hard on the ground that it... Now, normally in these situations, it would bounce and hit me in the face.
Wait, wait. Let me guess. It hit the table.
No. That
it
actually would have been even
table
worse.
Oh, my God.
It bounced, and I watched it in the air tumble, and it landed right in the garbage can.
Oh,
which is where it still sits. And will be taken out tomorrow with the trash.
Yeah. That Festool stuff, man. If you could name a cheaper brand of tools,
oh my God,
I would like to hear it.
There's so many great things, but I don't know what it is about those two 5-inch sanders that just gave me so many problems. And I'm not sending them back to get them fixed because it cost me a few $100. What's the point?
How many DMs are you going to get from this episode of people being like, hey, send it to me, I'll take it apart.
I guarantee that's why I'm not posting a story about it, because they're going to say send it to me. I'm not sending it.
Yeah.
Not. Yeah. If you want to come pick it up from the trash before the guys get there tomorrow morning at 9:00, it's all yours.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice big crack in the housing now from being slammed off the concrete.
I dropped my track saw on the ground about a year and a half ago, and it has been out of whack ever since. And have I taken the time to recalibrate it or fix it or get a new one? No, yeah. I just cut a wonky edge and then I touch it up.
Yeah.
So.
You need a track saw tune-up. Maybe that'll be Nick's next video.
Ooh,
that
that's
won't
a good
watch
idea.
Dude, I got an idea. I'll send you my track saw.
And I'll tune it up.
Tune it up and do a video on it and then send it back and it'll work perfect.
And I'll get like 25 views.
I love it. Oh, hey, speaking of video stuff, it was a big week for me, you guys. Cannot believe how excited I got over this. So you guys know from previous episodes that I use exclusively the InShot app to edit all my videos, right?
Right.
And the only other app that I kind of use is the Fast Slow app, so I can like really speed stuff up. So I'll send videos over there, speed them up, then put them over in InShot. Well, yep. InShot just got an update this week. And now,
oh boy,
in the app, you can speed videos up 100 times their original length.
A hundred times.
So was this before your last video or after your last video?
This was before my last one.
Oh, okay.
So I sped everything up.
Why didn't you use it to speed it up a little bit faster? Then?
Well, because the problem with doing voiceovers is you can only speed it up so fast. If you do a clip and it's sped up 600 times, but you have to say 20 seconds of explanation during it, you gotta either sound like Alvin the Chipmunk or you just gotta like speak in like paraphrased code that no one's gonna understand.
Right, shorthand.
So. Or you just don't tell them that you switch from the left miter slot to the right miter slot. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But anyways, there's not a lot that gets me super excited.
That's
but now
great news.
I can literally do everything in one app. I'm so happy. Just when I thought like, should I be going to a computer? Nope. This solidified it. I'm staying right where I am.
So. I still stand by the fact that I think you will move to a computer eventually.
Well, just because you said that is going to keep me from ever doing it.
Out of spite.
Because I'm going to be like, nope.
Straight out of spite.
I can't do it because, you know,
okay.
Nick thinks I'm going to. If I do, I'll just do it off camera so you won't know.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, the table is once the second coat of Rubio dry. I don't know what it is about the walnut I've used on this one. It must have been extra dry because after that first coat, it was so dull. And even after the second coat, it doesn't have that same sheen that it normally does. But maybe as it cures and hardens a little, usually it gets a little sheenier, a little glossier. Satinier.
Yeah.
But
also depends on the I find with walnut especially, it depends on the walnut. I've had some walnut where it takes and it's just super shiny, and then I've had some like walnut that I call thirsty walnut, and it just soaks that stuff up, and I have to put on, you know. Usually I put two coats on walnut, but sometimes I have to put on a third coat to get that.
Yeah, that's what
shine.
I'm worried about. Because I was gonna tell the guy I should be ready to deliver on Sunday, but I may not be if I have to put another coat on. So we'll see in a couple of days how it looks, but I don't know.
Did you ask your client to recheck their height of their chairs?
Yeah, well, before I started. But yes, and I had a moment of panic yesterday where I'm like, crap.
Oh, no.
You know, I need to double check this, and it's perfect. But I guarantee first words out of this woman's mouth when I put it on the floor is, boy, that is small. It's going to be, because I had to resize the whole thing, like, because just making it shorter didn't work, because then it looked too wide. It was, like, squashed.
Right.
And
you know what I would do if I was your client?
I'm going to bring in the same one and see if she notices.
That'd be so amazing.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I was going to say what I would do. I would get some bar stool height chairs. And then put them there, and then when you bring in the normal one, be like, what happened?
You went the wrong direction.
Oops.
Hey, guys, do you hear that? Shh, listen. Nick at Stated Woods Co.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick.
That was a good segue. That was very subtle.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
top
nice.
Tier.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick. Love you, buddy.
That's awesome. Speaking of walnut,
Yeah. Go on.
I've got a project coming up that I think both of you might be surprised about.
It's not plywood and it's not black.
Correct on both fronts.
I'm shocked.
But it starts with a P?
No.
Oh.
No, it actually doesn't. My parents, that starts with a P. They are going to commission me to build them a new mid-century modern walnut coffee table.
Yes.
Ooh.
Score.
So I'll be playing with some walnut and some nice angles, and maybe I'll have to take a page out of your book, Killa.
And make a prototype?
Maybe.
Yes.
It's possible.
You can do that on the CNC, though.
Yeah, the prototype.
Is this coffee table for them to set their accordion on?
Actually, I'm going to put a
coffee table slash saxophone stand.
It's gonna hold another piano.
Oh.
A smaller piano.
A keyboard?
Smaller a prototype. Piano. Okay. Prototype piano.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
it. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm kind of pumped about that.
Where do you procure your walnut?
Well, funny you mention that. My local sawmill that I get all my hardwood from actually had a fire about a month or so ago.
That is hilarious. You're right.
Yeah, it's that sounds
dangerous.
The rib buster. Yeah. No, they. I don't even know if they know how it started, but. A lot of their work area burned up. Not much of their stock burned up, but they can't open to the public because of all of the fire damage. And I guess they're still waiting to hear back from fire marshal and this and that about, you know, integrity of the building and all
of
that
stuff. Do they use Rubio Monaco?
I don't know if they do or not.
Because that, I mean, linseed oil, flammable. That's like the number one cause of shop fires.
Is linseed oil is?
Yeah. So I didn't know this until I went down to Texas for some Rubio class thing that I went to. And they were talking down there about how, like, you got to be careful disposing of your old rags because linseed oil can spontaneously combust and cause fires. I didn't know that. I was just chucking it. I had probably like 2 months worth of rags shoved in the bottom of my garbage can at the time.
Yeah.
So like I slowly stepped away from the group and called my wife and I was like, "Baby, should drag that garbage can outside.
Put that outside right now."
I didn't know, but it could catch fire. But apparently, linseed oil, like compressed in a small ball, like in a rag in the bottom
generates
heat and can cause fires. And that's the number one cause of shop fires. Oil,
I didn't know that was the number one. I thought most of it was just sparks.
Yeah.
Well, good
static from dust collection.
That's how fires do start, correct? Yes.
Right.
But the spark has to come from somewhere. I think it's a myth. People say that dust collection, like piping and stuff, static electricity,
it's a total
can cause
myth.
Sparks. I think it's a total farce.
There's not one documented case where it's ever, they've ever shown that a fire was caused by dust collection, spark, and static.
Yeah. Hmm. I have heard of like, explosion is the wrong word, but it'll pop a little bit, but not with like fire.
Mm-mm.
Right. Not big flames.
No.
Not enough to like burn your shop down.
Yeah.
No, I've heard of people that left batteries on chargers and those batteries exploded.
Yeah,
didn't the rigid drills were doing that like a couple years ago?
I think rigid was they had a big problem with some of that stuff.
The rigid saber barbecue
printers
model.
They had
saber printers. I just watched that episode the other night. I just watched that. It's so good.
We're on
page 340.
We're right. It happened. It is kind of scary. So I wouldn't want my shop to burn down. I should check and see if I have insurance on my shop.
You might want to look into that.
Do you have a fire extinguisher out there?
I do have. I did that shop tour video, and I probably got a zillion comments of people. Not a zillion. That's an exaggeration. Maybe like 10 people asking where my fire extinguisher was. Mm. And I do have one. It's in the cupboard under the sink. I just didn't think that was a highlight of the shop tour.
Well, to those 10.
It would have been if you set it off and just...
Yeah. In the words of Nick, it was there. It was off camera, though.
So. It was off camera.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a given.
That's right. That's the best. That's the default answer.
Well, I need one because I accidentally, I was dissolving some bubbles in some epoxy that I had filled a couple cracks. And on my bench was a mineral spirit soaked paper towel or rag, and I set the thing on fire.
Whoops.
Right on my bench. So I don't even know what I did to put it out. I forget. I think I stomped on it, or I stopped, dropped and rolled.
He just poured his LaCroix on it.
That's right.
The bubbles magically dissipated the flames.
Bubbles just
the pamplemousse put it right
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's when I realized that I need a fire extinguisher. I still haven't gotten yeah. one yet, oh, but I need funny. One.
Yeah. As long as you know you need one, that's all you need. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I need one. I don't have one.
The funny thing is people, so lots of people don't understand fire extinguishers, I've come to find out. And I used to work at a storage facility, and we had to have the fire extinguisher. It was like the code. We had to have them like in certain places. And that's when I learned that you can't just go buy a fire extinguisher and you're good forever. No. Those things have to be right. serviced recharged, every yeah. like 6 months because yeah. they lose pressure.
Yeah.
So sure. I wonder how many people think they're like good because they have a fire extinguisher in their shop that's been there for 5 years. And if they pulled that thing out, it would just drip on the floor. Like in that episode right. of Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When he pulls out his fire extinguisher and it just drips. Because that's what, drips. I mean, potentially that's what would happen. So,
yeah. What I want to get is one of those fire extinguisher bombs.
Oh.
It's like a ball.
Fight fire just, with fire.
Yeah. You just throw it at the fire. And it explodes and puts out the fire.
Well, that
have you
with
seen what? Those? Like it's just a water balloon?
I don't know. It's I don't know what it is. It's probably some sort of like dry chemical that reacts when it gets too hot oh, and okay. it explodes, but it suffocates the fire.
Powdered sugar.
But it's like a fire bomb.
Huh? Never heard of it.
Fire extinguisher. Wow. Yeah. Pretty cool.
I would just set my mother-in-law in the flames because I'm convinced not even the fires of hell have been able to. Touch
to
her,
dissipate
so.
Her, yeah.
Yeah. I think she'd work well. Anyways.
She listens to this show, right?
I hope so.
Well, I know who won't be one of our new patrons.
That's right.
So what else is new? Anything on the horizons? What's after the curved table, Keith? Are
no,
you
well it's shop cleanup because it's a disaster, but I actually have a built-in closet for my nephew over at my sister's house. He's going to be doing some work over there. And
are you like building all of it like cabinetry or are you getting like a prefab?
Yeah, no,
like,
cabinetry.
Kit. Okay.
Yeah, cabinetry. Nice. And then I'll install it and going to have some drawers, some shelves. You know, but it's, I mean, he's got a very small closet, so it's not really that elaborate. Okay. Just kind of two walls of stuff. I mean, I think it's, I want to say it's 6 feet by 4 feet. It's a small closet. I mean,
you know what you should do? And this would be a little crazy, but if you're up for it, hooks.
All hooks.
All hooks.
You're quite mad, you know. it's
hooks.
Funny you should say that because I was like talking to my sister. So on this wall you have hanging and over here you got drawers, but this whole wall right here would be great for like, and I did say for hooks, and I had that whole episode in mind when I said it. She didn't get it, but I had a chuckle to myself. And now another chuckle.
Johnny.
Oh, that's great.
So that's kind of, you know, I don't know what's coming after that. I'm actually possibly going to taking some woodworking classes, some intensive woodworking classes for a little while.
You mean you're going to teach them?
No, I'm going to.
If anyone
to
needs
teach.
Woodworking classes, it's Keith it's, Johnson.
He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first person I think needs some yeah. lessons.
Like, is it like, are they just like basic woodworking classics?
No, it's a little more advanced, like but it's everything.
Are you going to build something specific?
No, that's
birdhouses.
That's one thing. It is. There's no project, so it's all skills and from hand tools and sharpening and machine setup and grain, checking grain and recognizing grain and design and inlay. Like a whole.
Is it like local to you? You're gonna have to travel.
It's in Connecticut. So I'm going to have to stay.
I didn't know. I didn't realize Ryobi was in Connecticut.
But. Oh, it's Black and Decker, but
oh, okay.
I appreciate that.
It's a step up.
All right. What sparked that? I mean, is that something you think you need, or you just really, I mean, I could use that hands down, but.
Well, looks like I'm going to be getting laid off pretty soon. So I'm going to have some time off and I don't really see anything any time in the future where I can take 5 weeks off to do
that's
this.
That's awesome, man. I'm jealous. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, I'm just not looking forward to like wearing a mask in the shop for 5 weeks. But you know, they got their kind of protocols down though. You get like I think it's only 8 kids, if that meant kids. 8 people.
It's a high school shop class.
This is actually
Eric Curtis is
class.
Teaching us. Yeah.
E-Rock.
Oh, I can't wait to see what I got for homeroom.
Yeah.
So I think there's, you know, you get your own bench, but it's every other bench. So you get plenty of room, which I need. These elbows and the mess I make.
Yeah.
But it should be interesting. I'm just trying to nail down my lodging. I got to try to get an Airbnb or like an extended stay hotel. It's 4 days a week for 5 weeks. So I have to go up there and then drive back home for 3 days and then back up. So,
man, that's awesome.
We'll see.
When's that start? You know,
it's October 19th or 20th.
Okay, cool.
So in a month.
Solid.
So what about you guys? What's next?
I'm just about ready. I finished all my stuff this week that I needed to, and I'm going to take off day after tomorrow for
oh, that's right.
10 days of no
Ooh.
Working, traipsing around the woods.
Looking for elk.
There's going to... People are like, you're going hunting, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going hiking,
yeah.
Okay? The chances right. of me actually getting something are pretty low. This is my first year ever using a bow, so... It's more just, I'm just excited to get out of the shop and get away from it all for a while, so.
So you're going to be camping outside for 10 days?
Yeah, 10 days, and we're biking 8 miles into our campsite, Ooh. So we're going to be in the middle of nowhere. No
and
cell service.
And how many of you guys are going?
It's me and 2 other guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, living off.
That'll be fun, though.
Yeah, should be good. So that's it. I mean, other than that, I don't have anything too exciting. I got some stuff when I come back. I got one client piece I got to do, and then I'm building the boat.
Right.
The boat.
So I got to start.
Big pontoon boat.
Got to start getting my mind wrapped around that. I got to get all my materials ordered, and yeah. So that should be fun.
Definitely.
That will be fun.
Yeah.
I'm still looking forward to watching you build a boat.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean...
There's just something about a boat, right?
It's romantic. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do they say? They say the best 2 days of owning a boat is the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
The day you sell it, yeah. But in this case, yeah. It's going to be the 6 weeks I build it, so.
Right.
Yeah. Because knowing me, I don't know if you guys do this, but whenever you do something for the first time and you're kind of figuring it out as you go, you're struggling through it, you're kind of like making mistakes here and there because, you know, you've never done it before and you get to the end and you put it all together. And the first thought I have is like, all right, now I want to do it again because I feel like I could do it better.
Yeah. That's why sure. I redid this table. I felt that same feeling.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, and lots of the things I build, I'm never going to build them again. And so it's kind of a shame because if I could build them again, I know I could do a better job because I learned a lot and made a lot of mistakes. And yeah. So I just have a feeling, looking at my whole life, this probably won't be the first boat. I'll probably want to... figure it out better the second time around. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Or maybe I'll be so frustrated and over it by the end of it, I never want to look at it again. That could also happen.
That's true.
So.
That's very true.
Been there too.
I don't know. All right. Well.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums up us as a whole, right?
It does. Yeah. We're come up on the hour, which means it's time to head over to the after show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, right.
For all the patrons that are... You know,
patronizing,
able to join us there.
And if you have been on the fence about whether or not you should be a patron, I just want to tell you some of the things that happen in the after show. For example, tonight in the after show, we're going to play a little game and it's going to be called Guess That Stain. And basically, Keith, we've lined up 8 different stains and he's going to do a taste test and see if he can guess them based purely on taste.
And they're not even wood stains.
They're not. They're automotive. They're industrial. I mean, we've got a whole lineup of stains and chemicals that he is going to ingest and trying to determine what they are based solely on how bad his mouth feels.
Right.
So
yeah.
Those are the kind of things you're going to be missing out on if you're not part of our Patreon club.
Right.
That's right. And you can find us over there on patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast. Man, every time I say that, I always like have to make sure I don't shop sounds.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't come up with a better name that didn't have two S's.
Didn't have too much alliteration in it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's your fault.
Yeah.
Hitter.
Killer.
Killer.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep calling you Hitter. It's Killer.
Balls.
Balls. All right, Peppermint Patty and Bourbon Moth, let's head over to the after show. All right, we'll see you guys on the next one.
See ya.